So as you are very well aware, this is not the usual setting. You don't see my usual background. I would very much prefer giving this shir from Yerushalayim, as we do every week, Ki Metzion Tetzei Torah. But I happen not to be in Yerushalayim. I'm sitting in Manhattan in a business office. I did not ask permission from my host to do a promo, so I'm not going to tell you which office I'm sitting in. But I'm sitting together with an unbelievable, wonderful group of young professionals, businessmen that left their offices and they just came in to hear a shir. So these are beautiful people, and it's a privilege to know people like this in America. So I'm taking advantage of this conference room. So this week is Parshas Chukas, and the topic we will be discussing is so relevant and so fascinating, Dine de Malchus Adina. And the connection to the week's Parsha is twofold, Vayish Memeni Sheri, and at the end of the Parsha, we learn about Masech Melchemes Sichoin, Gittin Lamed Chesomadal, the Gemara says, Amon Amayav Teharu B'Sichoin. Actually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, you do not fight Amon Amayav. They are beyond boundaries. You do not fight them. But Sichon conquered Amon Amayav. It is no longer considered Amon Amayav. And then Bnei Yisrael fought Sichon and they conquered their lands. So these two sources give legitimacy to Kibish Melchama. And in a way, that is associated with Dina de Malchus Adina. But today, we're not going to talk about Kibish Melchama, but rather about the more practical aspect and the halacha. Dina the Malchus Dina. And as we do with every sugya, first we deal with the definitions and the fundamentals, and then with some practical implications and applications, the practicality of this aloha, Dina the Malchus Dina. Some achrayim, including the Kovner of the Dvar Avraham, bring five different opinions about Dina the Malchus, and I think that's a mistake. I think fundamentally there are two fundamental basic approaches. How do we understand Dina de Malchus Dina? So this sugi appears a few different sources in Shas, Baba Kam, and Nedom Chof Ches, Baba Basan Nun Dalet. So the Rash Mandaran, Nedom Chof Ches, and Medalev say, Dina de Malchus Dina is because the land belongs to the king. And if the land belongs to the king, he is the one to dictate. What are the conditions in which you are allowed to live in the land? It's the same as a person that has his private house and somebody wants to be his guest. It goes without saying, the balabos of the house is the one to dictate to his guests what are the conditions. You know, you're in my house and you need to act in accordance to my will. So the land belongs to the king, and therefore the king has the privilege and the authority to dictate to the people living in his land what are the rules. And therefore, the Rashba and the Ran Lishitosam are Mechadish, and Eretz Yisrael, there's no Dina de Malchus Adina, because other lands belong to the kings. Eretz Yisrael doesn't belong to a king. It belongs to every Jew in the world. Everybody has part of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore we don't say Dina de Malchus Adina. So many in Eretz Yisrael would prefer to bask in accordance to the Rashman Daran and say, well, we're living in Eretz Yisrael, no Dina de Malchus Adina. But that's not right, because this opinion is not brought in Tur. It's not brought in Shulchan Aruch. It's not in the Rambam. And in the Shulchan Aruch and the Tur, and all other poskim be'ikvos say in their footsteps, Dina de Malchus Adina applies to Eretz Yisrael as well as it does to any other country in the world. The other opinion defining Dina de Malchus Adina is the Rashbam, Bava Basna Undara de Medbeis, Tumas Adesh and Shin Mem Aleph. It is based on the consent of the people. When we live in a land, we assume that we live in a land and we take upon ourselves the authority of the government. So it's based on the consent. Al Menas Kein Adate Dehoch, we live in a land, taking upon ourselves the authority of the government. We enjoy the benefits, the plenty, the fruit of the land, so it goes without saying, we take upon ourselves the authority of the king, of the government, or whoever it may be. Seems to be the opinion of the Rambam as well, because the Rambam in Hilchos Gzeilah, in Perekei Halacha Yud Ches, says, it is only a legitimate king that has the authority of Dina de Mechusadina. But if he's cruel, if he isn't fair, then the Rambam defines it Gazlenusa de Malchusa, Chamsenusa de Malchusa. That is not a din. It needs to be fair, it needs to be just. So the Rambam also seems to agree that it is based on the consent of the people, but it's mefurish in Trumas Adeshen and in Reshban. The nafkamu would be, as we are very well aware, there are democratic countries and societies in today's world, and there is a lot of tyranny in the world and dictators. So when a dictator rules a country, do we say Dina de Mechusadina? According to the Reshbam and Trumas Adeshen, probably not, because usually these people don't have the consent of the people. They don't care about the consent of the people. But according to the Rashba and the Ran, if we say, well, the land is mine and therefore I set the conditions, maybe even in a dictatorial system, the halacha of Dina de Mechusa would still apply. So this seems to be a machlokes in the Rishonim. Or Zeruah, Baba Kama Tov Mem Zayin. And his son follows in his footsteps, and that's Shuvas Marach or Zeruah Semekufi Yud Rav Chaim or Zeruah. And they say, Dina de Mechusa Dina does not apply only to a legitimate government, not to a conqueror. If you conquer a country, your din is not legitimate. On the other hand, Shuvas Arbaz, Chelik Gimel, Sanatov Kuf Lamed Gimel clearly says, Kibish Melchome and Dina de Mechusa are the same. And I actually started today's Shia quoting two sources in this weekly parsha, which deal with Kibish Mohammed. According to the Radbaz, that is the same concept as Dina de Malchus Adina. So in Mincha Sosha, I wrote a totally new approach, a new interpretation of Dina de Malchus Adina. I think it's Tainus Enes, but I am totally subjective. Most of the things I say, I think, are Tainus Enes, but it is for others to judge. Dina de Malchus Adina really needs no explanation. It is the essence of Malchus. So in the modern Western world today, there are kings and monarchs that are totally ceremonial. They don't really have power and authority. Great Britain, Denmark, Sweden. I'm not up to date, but I think in most of these countries, there is a royal family, but they have no authority. There's an elected government. Prime Minister. He has the authority. And the king is more ceremonial. Kings are usually to boost tourism and bring revenue and money into the country. They have some functions, but not real authority. But Malchus B'Yisrael, Soim Tosim Olecho Melech Shetehei Eimos Soi Elecho. Amos Malchus is because of authority. Because the Melech has power, he could punish, he could reward, he sets laws, and you need to comply. What is Amos Malchus if a Melech has no authority? So Dina de Malchus Adina is the essence of Malchus. Because Al Pi Torah, who rules the country? So Sanhedrin is responsible for Mishpat, for Tzedek, for Dina Torah, but who was the ruler of the country? Malchus. The Rosh Hashanah, there's an amazing Chiddush, and the Ran says the Melech not only rules the country, he also is a legislator, and the Melech is responsible to devise and implement the system of law and order, which complements Mishpat HaSanhedrin, Mishpat HaTorah. So the Ran in his Droshes explains, no legal system could really be relevant if it's not updated. In America, for instance, yeah, there are amendments. There are constantly amendments. No legal system could be efficient unless it's from time to time updated. Society changes. There are new challenges and new difficulties. And so that is the tafkid of the Melech that An explains. Mishpat HaSanhedrin is fixed, but it needs to be filled in. There are social needs that aren't addressed by Torah. And that is the tafkid of the Melech. So Melech is all about din. Melech is about mishpat. That's Amos Malchus. So Dina de Malchus Adina is the essence of Malchus. So in Torah, we find the din of Melech Yisrael. How would that apply to Malchei Umos? There's a very poshut pasuk, Melech b'mishpot yamid eretz. And this pasuk doesn't refer to Malchei Yisrael dafka. Melech b'mishpot yamid eretz. So Melech is mishpot. And that is the essence of Dina d'Malchus Adina. So what's the machlokes of Rishonim? The way I understand it, the machlokes of Rishonim is how do we define Malchus? What is considered legitimate Malchus to whom we apply the Din of Dina d'Malchus Adina? What is Malchus? Dina d'Malchus Adina is the essence of Malchus. Ein Malchus b'li din. That's the essence of Malchus. Amos Malchus, Shutei Amos Ayalecho. How do we define Malchus? What is considered legitimate Malchus? That is the Machlokes Rishonim. According to the Rashbam, Trumas Hadeshel must be a Malchus that has the consent of the people. According to the Rana Verashma, no. The one that rules is the one that dictates the laws. We supply your needs. We are the administrative branch. So we also have the right to legislate. That is the opinion of the Rashma and the Ran. We don't need your consent. The fact you're living in this country and we care for your needs. We see to it that you have food and water and anything else that a country needs. And therefore, dinam din. So the way I understand it, the Rishonim don't explain the essence of the Aloch of Dinam de Malchus Adinam. It's just two different approaches. How do we define Malchus? And what is considered legitimate Malchus? To say that dinam din, that dinam de Malchus Adinam. And why is this so important to me? Because the classical understanding of both opinions wouldn't fit into any modern system today. So the Rashba and the Ran say, the country belongs to the king. According to international law, no country belongs to any king. Today, it is the most simple assumption, a country belongs to the people. Even dictators, they all argue we represent the people. So I think North Korea officially is called the Democratic Republic of Korea. Very, very democratic if you know anything about North Korea. Most countries in the world that officially are called the Democratic Republic, you know that those are the worst guys. Nothing about them is democratic. So do we say Dina de Malchus Adina? So today everyone agrees, and even those dictators claim to represent the will of the people. But no one would argue that a country belongs to a king. Why would a country belong to a king? Countries no longer belong to families, to kings, to presidents. Countries belong to the people. So according to the Ran and the Rashba, the entire concept wouldn't be relevant today, even according to the Rashbam. So the Rashbam says, if we live in a country, we agree to the rules. Why is that binding? Why is that binding? Yesterday I agreed and today I don't agree. I agree to most of the rules, but not to all of them. I think in every country, if you make a survey and a poll, do you like to pay income tax? No, I think most of the people would say, no, I don't want to pay income tax. I would rather keep the money to myself. So how do we understand the interpretation of the Rashbam and Trumas Hadeshel? We agreed. Who says we agreed? We agreed to most of the rules, but not to all of them. Yesterday we agreed and today maybe not. So in democratic countries, you have elections. And it is very common that leaders are voted out and others are voted in. So why is this binding? So in my interpretation, it's a totally new approach. Dina de Malchus Adina is the essence of Malchus. Etzem din Malchus dictates Dina de Malchus Adina. The question is only, what is considered legitimate Malchus? And therefore, we need the general consent of the people. It is not that you agree to this law and you agree to that law. That is not binding. I agreed yesterday. I don't agree today. I agree to any law that is to my benefit, but not to any law which will cost me money. So my interpretation is not that Dina de Malchus Adina is because you agree to the laws. Dina de Malchus Adina is just the defining fact of what is legitimate Malchus. Malchus must be based on the consent of the people. Once you have the general consent of the people, you have the authority, full authority, whether they agree or not, because that is the essence of Malchus. And that is my interpretation of the Rashba and the Ran. They don't mean that the land belongs to the king. It's not a legal term, the land belonging to the king, like real estate belongs to its owner. What it means is the one that rules, the one that's in control, do you know what I mean? He has the authority, because responsibility and authority are two sides of the same coin. And if you expect the Malchus to supply your needs and to wage your wars and to safeguard you, then that implies that you must follow their rules. These are two sides of the same coin. And that is what the way I would understand this Machlokes. So why, according to the Rashba and the Ran, don't we say Din et Malchus and Eretz Yisrael? Because essentially, Malchus Yisrael is different than Malchei Umos. Malchus Yisrael, Lo Yisrael Ani Noisem Lachem, Avos Ani Noisem Lachem. Malchus and Eretz Yisrael is more about serving the people. It's more about administration. Because the authority ultimately is in the hands of the Sanhedrin and in the hands of the Navi. The Navi speaks in the name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. His words are binding. The Sanhedrin are the ones to punish, to reward. The Melech is more in an administrative position. And therefore, according to the Rashba and the Ran and Eretz Yisrael, we don't say Dina de Malchus Adina. Din belongs to Sanhedrin, contrary to what I quoted before from the Ran. So up to this point, we just explained the fundamentals. Let's get into some details, at least some. This is a huge sugya, and our time is very limited. Especially these wonderful people sitting here, they have business to do. But they prefer to learn Torah. Shin Samech Teh Sif Aleph and Chesh Mishpat. That's a long sif. And fundamentally, that among the Shulchan Aruch and the Beis Yosef being all the different opinions. Some Rishonim maintain, Dina de Malchus Adina is only relevant between the individual and the government and the Malchus. Has nothing to do with relationships between people amongst themselves. Dina de Malchus Adina means you need to pay taxes. You have rights and you have obligations. Dina de Malchus Adina is between the people and the government, the municipality, the governing bodies. But the Ramo maintains the opinion that Dina de Malchus Adina is also between individuals, companies, not only between the individual and the government. Even though the Ramo brings various different opinions, that is clearly his ruling. And the Ramo has an interesting angle. Called the Shesh Barayinu Al HaMelech, or Takonas Bnei HaMedina. Takonis Bnei Medina, every law that is made to the benefit, to the well-being of the population is binding. That is Shin Samech Teh Sif Aleph. And I want to bring four different examples and sources in the Ramo. Siman Ayin Gimel, Gviyas Choyv, the Ramo deals with Dina Mashkin. So you remember the Gemara's Bal Choyv Koin Mashkin, there's a concept of a Mashkin. So when a lender lends money to a borrower, sometimes he will want to have a lien on his house, or sometimes metalkalin, shetel. And in Gemara, we have a concept of a mashkin. So I lent you money. I want some guarantee. So you gave me a watch. You know, it is told on the Divrei Chaim. The Divrei Chaim was the Amoid HaChesed, the Tzantzarov. So the story goes that never was there a dollar in his home by night. Divrei Chaim said, by money, there's a din of noisar, psul lino. Any money that he had, he gave to Aniyim. And when he went to sleep by night, there was never any money in the house. Every Erev Shabbos, he need to ask people to give him money to be poider the leichters of Shabbos. What's a leichter? Candelabra, you know. Because it was always given as a mashkin. He took loans to help Aniyim. So every Erev Shabbos, you need to pay the lender. He should have an Erev Shabbos. So the Ramo brings that in some countries, Din HaMalchus was that the lender cannot take full possession of a mashkin only after 12 months. Lefi Alocha, there's no such Alocha. Stamal Vos Loishim Yoim, 30 days passed, payday come. He didn't pay, you could take possession of the mashkin. The Ramo says, Din HaMalchus Adina. And if according to the law, you need to wait 12 months, you need to wait 12 months. That is not between the individual and the government. That is between people, between Reuven and Shimon, between Levi and Yehuda, and the Ramon Paskin's Din and the Machos Adina. Kufnun Dalet Sif Yud Ches. We're dealing with Nizkei Shcheinim. So there is an entire system of halachas. What a neighbor may do and what he is not allowed to do. You can't open a window if that window is on top of your neighbor's chutzah. That is Hezekriya. The Ramon says, Cheskes Chaloinis depends on Din HaMalchus, depends on the law of the land. And that is once again between Reuben and Shimon, and not between the individual and the Malchus. Reish Nun Tet Siv Zayin, we're dealing with Hashavas Aveda. So in Bava Metzia Chof Aleph, and in various different sugyas, HaMatzal Mezuta Shel Yom, Hareiru Sheloi. If the water, if the sea, swept something into the ocean, and you put your life on the line, and you swam into the ocean, and you salvaged it, it's yours. Ramo says, according to the Malchus, you have to give it back to the previous owner. And Nina de Malchusadin, you cannot keep it to yourself. Shinun Tes, Shinun Vav, Siv Zayin, is Dina Geneva Vigzela. According to Chazal, there's a concept of Yesh Vishin Rishus. If the balam was nesiyish and you gave it away to another person, it says that Ramo says that doesn't comply with Dina de Machusa, Dina de Machusa Dina. So in all these sources we see, according to Ramo, Dina de Machusa Dina is not only between the individual and the government, even between people. So the basic idea is called Dova Shiyesh Boitakonas HaMedina. Comes along the Shach, Ayin Gimel Sif Kot Lametesh, regarding Dina Mashkon, and the Shach says, Din of the Malchusa, when it's against Din Torah, bottle of Mevuta. Din Torah reigns supreme. And that's such a big pella, this Shach, because Din of the Malchusa is always against Din Torah. If it's not against Din Torah, why do you need Din of the Malchusa? Whenever we say Din of the Malchusa, Din, it's against Din Torah. The Gemara Bava Kama says, how do we know Din of the Malchusa, Din? Because governments take away land from their owners. Every government in the world, according to every system, has the power. Takanot chirum. If need be, we could confiscate land. Yes, you will be compensated, but they don't need your consent. It's a process. You could go to court, but governments do have the authority and power to confiscate land if need be. So the Gemara says, because they take away land, they build bridges, they build roads, and we use those roads. So isn't this against Din Torah? So the Chazon Ish, Lekutim Choshemish Betet Zayin, wonders about the Shach. So let me share with you my opinion in this fundamental question. Regarding Yerusha, no legal system in the world gives a Bchor Pishnayim besides Teres Hashem. No legal system in the world puts sons before daughters, but Lefi Din Torah Ein B'mas B'mokam Ve'ein. Tshuvas HaRashbo Chelek Dalet Reish Nun Vav. This Rashbo was quoted by all the Poskim. Regarding Yerusha, Al Pi Halacha Ba'al Yorish Es Ishtoi. But according to Mishpato Amim, no. Her children take inheritance, not her husband. So according to some legal systems, it's split 50-50. The husband takes 50%, the children take the other 50. Tshuva Sarashba says, we will totally reject Mishpat Oamim. And he attacks, harshly attacks those that Manichim Be'er Mayim Chaim Lachzav Lehem Boiris Nishborim. On the other hand, there's a Tshuva in Rivash Semenun Beis. The Rivash also deals with Din Yerusha. And he deals with the question of acharecho. And that's a big sugya in Baba Basra. And listen to me, acharecho leploini, acharecho leploini. So number one has it till the day of his death. When he passed away, instead of this gift going to his Yerushim, it goes to ploini. When the second person will pass away, it goes to number three. So the Rivash writes in Siman Nun Beis, in our countries, we comply with Din HaMalchus. And according to Din HaMalchus, there is no Din HaBaharech. And the Rivash says, yes, we accept Din Malchus. The Tashbitz was a Talmud of the Rivash, but he was as great as Bar Plukta. Very strange relationship. We'll talk about another opportunity, not right now. Tashbitz Chelek Gimel Simson Samach Aleph rejects the Rivash, and he says it's against the Rashba. The Rashba says that by Yerusha, we reject Din HaMalchus. But I don't think the Tashbitz is right, because the Rambo in Choshen Mishpat quotes both the Rashba and the Rivash. So according to the Rambo, we must assume it's not a Machlekes. Shin Samach Tes, the Rambo brings the Rashba. Reish Mem Chesi brings the Rivash. If this is a Machlekes, how could he quote them both? So my opinion is this, and this is a Choshev Yisai. When Din HaMalchus claims to be more righteous, more moral, more ethical than Din Torah, we will reject Din HaMalchus. Don't dare to think you are more ethical and right than Torah's Hashem. So according to Din HaMalchus, sons and daughters have the same rights. Why would a husband take his wife's inheritance and not leave it to her family? Why would a bchor take bishnayim? The Rashba says, no. Din Torah reigns supreme. The Din of Achrecha was a technicality. It's not a moral principle. It's not that they are more ethical than we are. It's just a concept. And therefore, in that case, Din HaMalchus. So that would be my understanding. So when do we say Din Torah overrides Din HaMalchus? When we're dealing with fundamentals, ethical principles, not when we're dealing with details. One of the fundamental questions is, does Din HaMalchus apply only to Mominus or to other areas as well? And this was so problematic in the past year, in the year of COVID-19, and it brought so much machlekes in our communities. So Din HaMalchus there is not about money, not about monetary issues, but it's still letakonas b'nei ha-medina. That's the Hagdara of the Rambo, Shin Samech Tes. Letakonas b'nei ha-medina. So I was once asked by a cheder. So we desperately need to open the cheder, but we still don't have issue from the fire department. But our mumchim say it's totally safe. It's just a technicality. We still don't have, you know, a formal permit. What do we say, Dina Demachosadina? You can't open this cheder because it's against the law. And I think, yes, Dina Demachosadina. It's the Tekonis of Bnei HaMedina. Traffic laws and regulations. It's not about money. I once was involved in a very painful case about adoption. We have no source in the Torah that there's a concept of adoption. Parents can't give away children. It's not a house or a car or an animal that you buy, that you purchase, and you give away. You don't buy children, you can't give away children. But in every Medina Mitukenes, there are laws of adoption, because to our dismay, sometimes kids have the bad fortune to be born into families that are not functional. And society needs to care for those kids, for those children. Some children are born into families, if we won't care for them, they will die, or they wouldn't have a proper upbringing. So there are laws of adoption. Are those laws binding? I was once involved in a case. A mother had a baby out of wedlock, and she gave away the baby for adoption, and then she regretted it, and she found out who was the family, and she fought them. And in my opinion, Dina HaMalchus Dina, because these laws sometimes are lifesavers, and it's Leptakonis B'nei HaMedina. So I gave a few examples of the question of Dina HaMalchus Dina when it was not dealing with monetary issues, but rather totally different areas. But the common denominator that's out of Shoah, they are the Takonas, B'nai HaMedina, and in my opinion, Dina de Machusadina is relevant and will apply. So today we discussed a fascinating sugya. And the first part of the shiur, we just spoke about the definitions and the Hagdoras and the Yesodos of this sugya, and then we went into some detail. When does this rule apply? So this week's parsha, we learn about Shiras HaBe'eiro. And B'nai Yisrael said, Shiran Be'eiro Shel Miriam. And the Yerachayim HaKodesh asked a very well-known question. How is it? They said Shiran Be'eiro Shel Miriam. They said Shiran Ankiyas Yam, Suf Shiras HaYam. And again, Shiras HaBe'eiro. How come they didn't say Shiran Kaboras HaTayra? Kaboras HaTayra is the most important event in the history of the world. So they say Shira once and once again, and they didn't say Shira al Kaboros HaTayra. So the Chaim HaKodesh says, Toyra Nim Shira LeBe'eor. Shira Saber in a way is Shira HaTayra. But I wonder. So why is Shira HaTayra the Derech Remez? They actually said Shira LeBe'eor. And they rely on us. We should know the Medrash, the Torah, Nim Shira LeBe'eor. If we need to say Shira Al Torah, we should say it explicitly, loud and clear. The Torah should say, "Az Yoshi Yisol Shira Sa Torah." Why B'derech Remez? So I would say, in the Kash of Dor HaChaim, we didn't say Shira Al Torah because Torah in itself is Shira. Do you recall what is the pasuk, the midst of Ksiva Sefer Torah? V'atu kisvu lachem es ha-shiro ha-zois. And this mitzvah doesn't apply only to Shira Sazino. According to practically most of the early commentators, that's the midst of Ksiva Sefer Torah. And Torah is called Shiro. We not only learn Torah, we sing Torah, we rejoice in Torah. Simchas Torah and Ched V'Sedishmaitz are the most important simcha in the world. Torah is a shiro. Ein oimrim shiro al shiro. It's exactly the reason ein oimrim brocha al brocha. Did it ever occur to you? And I wonder if it didn't. Why don't we say Berchas HaMitzvah on benching, on Berchas HaTorah? It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. We do say Berchas HaMitzvah, mitzvah shebedibur. We say a brocha on Mikra Megillah. Even though it's a mitzvah de Rabbanan. So lecha'oira, three times a day, when a person benches, he should say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kedeshonu B'mitzvah Yisrael Tzivonu Levorach Al HaMozeh. And every day in the morning, before saying Berachas HaTorah, we should say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kedeshonu B'mitzvah Yisrael Tzivonu Levorach Al HaTorah. We don't say so. The answer is a very simple one. We never say a brocha an a brocha. We could say a brocha on kriya, but we don't say a brocha on another brocha. And that's why there is no brocha on Berachas HaTorah or Berachas HaMozeh. And in the same token, ein oimrim shira al shira. Torah in itself is shira. No need to say shira al shira. That is my feeling. But I also want to quote the Orach Chaim HaKodesh. After all, I'm just a Mincha Soshel, the little one. He's the Orach Chaim HaKodesh, the giant. So Orach Chaim says, Shiras HaBe'er, Shiras HaTorah, Torah Nimshel HaBe'er. In what way is Torah Nimshel HaBe'er? We find Pasuk in Mishlei that refers to Torah. Shtei Mayim Eboicho, Venoizle Mebe'echo, V'yafutzo Mayim Sechu Chutzo. It's noteworthy, interesting, in the very same pasuk, we have a reference to three different types of water sources, boir, be'er, mayon. What is the difference between the three? Boires mayim are water holes. You dig the hole, you dig the pit, and you pray for rain. And if rain doesn't come, you need to bring water to fill it up. Tchilos avisoifu midayodam. Be'er is a well. You dig a well. But you only dig a well if you can reach the water table. And then you have me'at ha'im. You have natural water. And you don't need to fill that well. There are no wells in the desert because the water table is very deep down there. So well as Tchilos Abriyod of Esoif B'dei Shamayim, Amayon Kol Kulo B'dei Shamayim, that is a gift of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when the Torah speaks about the bounty and the blessing of Eretz Yisrael, Ayona Yis Yoytzen Bebiko Bebahar, Eretz Nachlei Mayim, Eretz Nachlei Mayim. So Necholim and Mayona Yisar, no need to work, no need to toil. Kol Kulo B'dei Shamayim, Torah's Nibshal Lebe'er. Many times young yeshiva boys come and they're so stressed out and they talk to me about the difficulty learning. We don't understand the Shia, we don't have Cheshit, we learn and we forget. And I always try to encourage them with this pasuk. Stage number one is Shteimayim Eboyecho. Yes, a lot of Yegiyah. It's not easy. But if you persist, stage number two will be Venoizlem Min Be'ercho. Sooner or later, you'll have Siyata Deshmaya, you'll reach the water table, and then you will have water in plenty. And if you persevere and you learn Basmada, then you will have the Avtocha of Chazal, Kloise Betor Deshmo. Nase Kemayon Hamiz Gabe Vekenoa Shele Poise. Today, when I say Siyurim, it's not really hard on me. I don't need to prepare much. It just comes. I just need to decide what sugi to talk about. You know, and I've learned so many sugyas, so it's not really very hard. So you just need to persist. So according to the Rechaim, Shiras HaBe'er is also Shiras HaTorah. We should all be zeichet to sing Torah, to rejoice in Torah, to dance with the Torah. Simchas HaTorah. And the source of Talmud Torah, which is Bezoich HaBekorev, to Yeshua Seilomim, Biyaz Goyal Sedek, B'mehero, B'yumeinu, Amen.